When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is an Oiler 9 podcast special about one of the best Irish albums I've heard in 2019. The artist's name and the album are called For Those I Love, and it's a project by one man, David Balfe, that has its roots in North Dublin working class areas where people are demonised, downtrodden and stereotyped. But first, some background. For Those I Love has its roots in another musical project that explored working class reality. That band was called Burnt Out, and they released a number of tracks and videos in 2016 that were among the most ambitious and fully realised multimedia art that has come out of Ireland in the 21st century. Working class identity and the unhinged emotional and social violence of the estates set the cornerstone of the message, is how they put it themselves. Their first song, released in 2016, was called Dear James.
Yeah.
time of the release of the song, Burnt Out said that Dear James depicts the state of affairs whereby working class Dublin youths suffer at the hands of the system they are pressured into creating. Lyrically and atmospherically, Dear James presents the tragic reality of a Coolock youth, marred with the problems presented to the working class in noughties recession Dublin, the pressure of merit, valid work, social status and identity. The true story of James recalls the public suicide of a teenager in the midst of these pressures, along with the indelible mark left on a community, void of the confidence and foresight granted by a stable economy and credible culture. Dear James puts those viewing and listening into the heart of the roads we grew up on, with all the pain, discomfort and struggle as totally unavoidable to them as it was and is still for us.
My little rebellion inside hasn't changed. Never faded in stages, I still suffer the rages of a teen. Still have those dreams of getting out of the skin. But I was brought up to believe it. That genius was a take it or leave it. That art was a part-time pastime that just doesn't mean shit. And if greatness never comes, then there's no need to grieve it. But from the first time I saw Mike Alone rooming in Goldie's clean sheets, I read When I Have Fears by John Keats. I put This Order by Joy Division on 50 times on repeat. I knew there was a reason. A great upheaval, redeeming a feeling so primeval to me very being that I born to do something great. And that a moment of art, a moment packed in a car that sparks a poem or even just a flow is worth more than half the world will ever know. And sure, I have fears that I'm wasting me time. But as I gaze at the brazen youth as they stand in a queue in a single foil, Sam emerges from the sweet oil, asking me to go splits on a 12-pack of crisps. And in a flash, it all seems worthwhile.
That was the voice of Paul Curran, the Coolock poet, who sadly passed away in 2018. Curran was in the band Burnt Out with David Balfe, or Balfe as he's known to his friends. Balfe and Curran were best friends who grew up together. And this podcast is Balfe's story in his own words, but it's also the story of Curran, their extended friends and family, as told through art. Here's David Balfe discussing growing up with Paul Curran and forming the band Burnt Out.
For Burnt Out, we had started in like 2014, just ourselves. Paul and I had gone to school together, sort of been my best friend since first year in secondary school. And we had done a bunch of bands together as teenagers, like hardcore bands and like some metalcore and stuff before that. Yeah. We're teenagers. I still love some of it. And then as we got older, I think we had much greater ideas in mind. I had been sort of getting a bit more into trying to make film. And Paul had been developing his writing, started to find, I guess, a voice that represented not just himself, but the rest of us, the rest of our group of friends who, I suppose, up until that point, maybe felt, let's just say, underrepresented. We didn't really feel like our ideas on the world were being articulated, certainly not to the degree or with the finesse that Paul was able to bring in the colour and life that he brought for us with our outlook. And then myself and Paul and friend and two of our other friends, Peter and Robbie. These are all people that we'd been in bands with for years, various bands, various iterations, but really we're just people all from pretty much the same part of North Dublin that had all sort of grown up with the exact same or at least very similar backgrounds and life experiences. And we started a project called Burnt Out together, and started to make music together that way. There was a lot of other people involved as well, just throughout the whole project. As you said, it was kind of like a multimedia project. And I guess in a lot of ways, we tried to not restrict ourselves into just being a project that had its end result as an audio output or as a visual output. We wanted to speak in a much wider language, a much more accessible language, and a language that was actually able to communicate the ideas that we were trying to put forth in the actual stark reality that they were felt, I suppose. To this day, that's sort of still the most important project I've ever been a part of. And I feel like this is one of the few times where I can speak for the other lads with confidence that were involved as well and say that for them, it's the most important project they've been involved in too. Unfortunately, I suppose not everybody has seen the fruits of that, but what we've been able to make and what we have gotten from what we've been able to make has been irreplaceable.
You get 50 quid to do a gig. The 50 quid goes off a bill that never gets paid. E and Wade and Spade and Ket, the shite of shite in town you get. The type of shite that leads to death, the type of shite that ends mates. Not seen his face since years ago. What's happening, chief? What's happening, bro? He only wants to sell you blow, the blow that makes the blues fed. So you carve a dream. You make believe. You tell yourself it's worth the fee that leaves the bank drained. Brain turns to mush. You lost that touch. You don't do what you love as much. The art that never gets made.
While the music on Balfe's 9-track For Those I Love album was started well before Kern's death, the album took on a greater meaning with his close friend's passing. It serves as a tribute to Kern's legacy, but it also marks the importance of friends and family.
Because I felt things that were so temporary, everything seemed so transient. I was looking at so many peripheral deaths for the years previous to that. Everything just felt like it was just so tender, and anything could be gone at any moment. I felt like it was so important to be able to just put something in permanence that acknowledged my feelings towards the people that I loved the most, and also to be able to acknowledge again in permanence my recognition of their love for me, which is probably like the greatest privilege that I've had in my life, is to be able to feel loved by people. And that didn't change after Paul passed. It just was different, but that idea is still, that sentiment is still what's at the heart of that album. It was to still say, you know, to my closest friends, I love you. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to say that directly to Paul, but it still felt so important to be able to acknowledge that. And then to also be able to acknowledge as loud as I could that love that I still felt, because I don't think that died. I don't think it does die. It takes a long time to become so sure of that. But yeah, that it didn't. I understand how it would seem like the significance would totally change, but I really think the idea was just the exact same. I just wanted to be able to acknowledge that love. Everything else was different. Every waking moment is entirely different, but that intention is still the exact same.
I have a love. and it never fades. I have a love full of flames that rage. I have a love that never turns, and I have a love that burns. I have a love, and it never fades. I have a love full of flames that rage. I have a love that never turns, and I have a love that burns.
Balfe recorded 76 songs for the album and put 9 on the release. It is sad, filled with rage and grief, but it is also a celebration. It has upbeat rave euphoria, cathartic spoken word, dense swirling productions, self-recorded clips shared between friends and WhatsApp, and everything in between. It references the streets, the blaze, that Mount Kimby video we'd always watch, a Lazarus Soul, Grogan's Pub, Twin Peaks. And it embodies summer evenings with friends, innocent nights talking shite, arms around your friends at a festival, getting up to no good, and the small moments that are insignificant until someone great is gone.
And a year ago or so, I played this song for you in the car stereo in the night's breeze. This bit kicked in with its synths and its keys, and you smiled as you sat next to me. You in the front, Gilly in the backseat, going 90 to the sounds as we roared down the street. The other boys stomping feet, and me in utter disbelief from the joy and the break in the beats. We got out and stood by that Kia Rio Cage stage, and I felt like I had it all. Cause I have a love, and it'll never fade, and either will you, Paul.
So For Those I Love, the start of that project for you in terms of the styles of music that you were interested in, like, tell me a bit more about that. Like, what was kind of inspiring you in terms of to start that project?
I feel like that's a great question, because I've like tried to interrogate that myself constantly. And I don't know where I don't know what it was that was compelling me to make this sort of stuff. Like, certainly there was driving forces that I don't necessarily think are found in the end product, but like, you know, one of my favorite records growing up, like everybody's, most of my peers, it's like my dad's like favorite album now is Original Pirate Material.
Yeah. Which is a reference to album as well.
Yeah. There's a lot of Streets references, and it's one of the things that like, one of the things that I bonded most with a lot of my most immediate friends. But yeah, there certainly was something there. The idea of being able to tell stories in a similar way that were their own small moments that really spoke further about class or spoke further about the color of that world. You could just tell somebody this small anecdote, but really you're saying a whole novel's worth of work. It was that sort of stuff that was inspiring me. But in terms of the sound palette, like, I don't really know where I was drawing that stuff from exactly, but I felt like maybe the intention or something was, so I was trying to mirror a similar intention to projects like Original Pirate Material.
That's it. Turn the page on the day, walk away. Cause there's sense in what I say. I'm 45th generation Roman, but I don't know him or care when I'm spitting. So return to your sitting position and listen, it's fitting. And I'm miles ahead and they chase me. Show your face on TV, then we'll see. You can't do half, my crew laughs at your rhubarb and custard verses.
You rain down curses, but I'm waving your hearses driving by. Streets riding high with the beats in the sky. All stare, eyes glazed, garage burned down, the fire raged. For 40 days and in 40 ways. But through the blaze they see it fade. The sea of black, the beaming heat on their faces. Then a figure emerges from the wastage. Eyes transfixed with a piercing gaze. One hand clutching his sword raised to the sky. They wonder how, they wonder why. The sky turns white, it all becomes clear. They felt lifted from their fears. They shed tears in the light after six dark years. Young bold soldiers, the fire burns.
Where will the Mandan Blaze gods stand?
Sounds like a brilliant social commentary piece that you're going to do. And if you finish that last one.
I think for me, and you mentioned it in the little bio that you wrote, is about, like, you know, kind of a self-archive. And throughout the album, there are loads of different, say, WhatsApp messages. And you mentioned interviews and videos and stuff like that. So just talk to me a bit about those. Like, is that something you always kind of did in terms of, you say, like, obviously you were making video stuff and all that kind of stuff. But even to have an archive of all those things and a document and to be able to put them into something makes it much more personal. And was that a tough thing to be able to go, all right, I'm going to put all this stuff in? Like, you talked about, like, that ephemeral nature of stuff, especially we live in a digital world now, and stuff like WhatsApp messages or, like, stupid audio messages that your mates might send you and stuff like that, but, like, it's usually gone. So was that kind of important, just to feature some of that stuff there in the music?
Yeah, it was a very... It was a choice that I was very certain of, but the first time I actually started to place these moments in, everything did feel a little bit more real then. And I think that was a very scary experience. I think the first time I was doing that, because when you're in the process of studying these moments back and looking through these archives, when you have the intention that you're about to place them into a piece of art, there's still some distance there because you're in the middle of process. You're in the middle of, like, making, so you're being, like, analytical and you're making these really picky choices and you're trying to go at what feels right. But as soon as it's done and it's placed in, and you listen back for a moment, you're not in the process of making art anymore. And you're looking at a very real thing that's happened in your life. A very real acknowledgement of impermanence and permanence. And I think that was very frightening and upsetting for me the first time. But it was also something that probably gave me, and hopefully some of my friends when they heard it, a much more real and valuable moment of being able to just accept reality and reflect on those moments, sort of the beauty that they had and still have. I'm terrified of losing my memory. Grow up, like, kickboxing and stuff, you get hit in the head a lot. I'm very afraid of things, of losing, very afraid of losing my memory, losing everything that I hold in there. So I think for years I've just tried to archive everything, and I never knew why. I wasn't sure of why I was doing it, even though it would make sense, like, that I'm saying, like, oh, well, nothing has ever felt permanent to me. Everything has always felt like it's all just dropping off bit by bit. I think maybe when you experience a loss like that, you become so lucid for a moment about your past. And it seems like things have fallen into place and you go, I understand now why I've been doing this for years. And you're very very grateful for those moments. And it was also to be able to put them back into a piece of art, for one, that just feels fitting. Just feels like that's what Paul would have done. It's what Robbie would have done. It's what Peter would have done. It's what any one of my friends would have done in a similar experience, I believe. It feels like the right thing to do, but it also feels like the right thing to do for my friends that are here that get to share it with me as well. Yeah. That can go, fuck, from listening to that moment, I can remember when Paul headed the ball and it landed perfectly in the trolley and got stuck. And it seems like it's like the people that were there, they just hear that rattle of the trolley and they hear the scream and the run and the just expression of joy. Yeah, it just felt important to be able to include those things.
You live in a Lazarus soul, in the Dubliner songs of old and the Pogues, the art that never grows old. You live in fireworks at the prefabs, cash for hash and give it a lash, jack footballs off the pebble dash. I hear you when I'm locked, poems at a jewel shock lock stock and hot rocks round the block never stop. And I see you still, wild in every field, try and send you photos of every stray mattress I see and ask what could have been. Cause you live in Christy Moore, George Moore, Catch Me Daddy English Moors and Broken Doors. You live in Keats, the Liffey littered with broken seats and Disorder by Joy Division forever on repeat. You live in the books of John B. Cain, How McPhail and Leeds and Petey playing Vanessa Carlton on the keys. I see it in every 20 quid haircut and Billy Struff from the lads stuck in a rut, but we get by. You're all that's on my mind when points in the killer are the flowing tide and all the other lads at my side on the same vibe.
Is it hard then to get to that point where, you know, you're going to put it out? Like, you made it for yourself first and you made it for your friends, and but putting it out into the world, what is like that like? Because is there any other something else you'd like to do with it?
Again, that's a great question, because it probably took me 2 years of working on that project in pretty much constant thought about that. Long before Paul had passed, and I was just telling my friends, here, listen to these instrumentals I have. All the stuff I'm writing about on this is about how much I love all of you. And is it okay if I write about this, you know, the time we egged out Matt's teacher's gaff and all this sort of stuff? Like, because I think there's actually something really important in that. There was always the question about, like, do you put this in the world or do you just give it to your friends? That, I think, probably haunted me in the past year, just wrestling with that. I think speaking to a lot of my close friends who knew I was working on the project but weren't hearing anything past that. After hearing, you know, 20, 30 instrumentals a year ago or whatever, a bit longer, they didn't really hear anything else. But they knew that I was working on stuff. A few people knew kind of what the content was still going to be. I think there was a lot of questions about whether or not this should be a thing that's shared. But at its root, If I'm supposed to try and stand here and celebrate my friends, celebrate the times that I've had with them, but also if I'm to try and stand here and say, you know, my best friend was Paul, and I think he wrote things that changed the way I viewed the world and made me feel understood in a way that I'd never felt before, I think that a lot of you people, you strangers, people that I don't know, might have that same experience, especially if you're from that same world, that same background. I don't know how else to announce that, to celebrate that, other than to try and make something, to make art in his name and in my friends' names, and put it out into the world and just say, like, here's my contribution, and if you like it, maybe please look at where this all came from or what inspired this in the first place. The exact same stuff is, exact same questions were there with Burnt Out. Like, Burnt Out was for us before it was ever anything that was going to be shared publicly. Again, when we thought we were sharing that publicly, we thought it was, you know, like 100 people might hear it and they'll all be our Facebook friends. And we are very lucky that it got a bit wider than that. But yeah, like, at first it was that this is for us. And then you realize that maybe what you have to say might be kind of, it might be important to somebody else in the same way that Paul's work was important to me, important to Robbie, it was important to Peter, in the same way that hearing fucking original pirate material for the first time is like, yeah, man, like, this, even this, though, that this is, I'm whatever, I'm 11 years old when I hear this record or something, 11, 12, and I'm going, I'm from such a different world, but there's parts of this that just make me feel understood for the first time. The same with, the exact same with Boy in the Corner, just going like, I get something here. Like, you'd be wild to think that it ever has that effect, but just that, yeah, these things have to come into your mind when you think about sharing them. It just felt important to be able to share it. And then also, if I'm to stand with my friends and I'm to stand with other people that I know and say, yeah, man, like, I think speaking about things in a safe manner is one of the most important things we can do. If I can sit with my therapist and say, yeah, I think this is one of the most, like, being able to verbalize, being able to be, allowing yourself to be vulnerable, allowing yourself to hopefully drive empathy. These are valuable, important steps that people can take. But then I think maybe it would be very hypocritical to not put that out publicly, or to not say, here's access. And what a way to celebrate your friends. Yeah. Rather than just shout it at people.
Then you're 9, 10 and 11. In the same place the guard had got you at 7. Taking the sides off trains with stones. We did that because we were broke. We did that because we had no hope or a place to go. We did that because we didn't say no 20 years ago. And it still comes out when we get vocal. Singing in the local. A lonely feeling came on me stealing. Some sober as a judge and the other boys out the nut. And all of us dancing like there's no one left in the world but us. And these days it feels like there isn't. There's no way to put that loss into words. But we'll wrap arms around shoulders and scream love from our lungs. And we'll escape the Friday football and hugs. And tell tales of nights and days spent in teenage fun. Cause the world is a cruel, cruel place without the love. So we'll spend the rest of our life being brave. And hope that things will change. And age will still mark the time in the same way. But I'll hold on a little tighter. To the love of my mates. Forever and a day.
Did making this album help you process Paul's passing in any way, do you think?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it is a celebration album as well as your friends. And I think it feels like to me, I can feel that from the album, that it's very much like, I get, you know, that celebration is something that can really help, I think. I certainly feel that anyway from, you know, someone who's, you know, everyone had people in their lives who have passed, and you really get that sense of celebration. And like, in terms of how Irish people often cope with grief and losses, you know, we getting better at it now, but like generally it's quiet and shut off, where you're opening your mouth and putting it out there. And I think that's, I think people will recognize that, people will hear that, and you know, that'll resonate with people for sure, I think.
Yeah, I would hope so. I would hope, I think I said this recently as well, but talking to somebody, I would hope that more than anything, that the record, if it could do anything for anybody, that it would drive a sense of empathy for people in vulnerable positions, for people with addiction issues, for people with mental health issues, for people in any, I just wanted to be able to just drive just a sense of empathy. I think it's a lot, I know it's a lot to ask for in some ways, but it's, that's what the intention is. I think that's what we all need. It's what everybody needs, just a greater sense of empathy. I think that's probably where love comes from. And I think it in a lot of ways it was part of the, it's part of the key and part of the journey of trying to process that passing. And it's a very long journey, and the record is, it could only be one part of it, because it doesn't just stop now that I've like finished a project. Your processing of a passing doesn't just end like that, but much like, you know, time in therapy, much like, you know, being sober, all of these small moves are part of one overall process of trying to deal with something of that magnitude. And I think when I look at my friendship with Paul, and I look back to when we were younger and maybe experienced people passing, young people passing when we were younger, hearing how Paul wrote about these exact young people passing when we were younger, hearing about him speak about our school friends who had passed and the circumstances, and just how he was able to use that as it's not just a way to process a passing for himself, but as a hopeful sort of springboard for other people to be able to process that, to be able to see it, how these things happen, and just to be able to interrogate the sort of ruthless conditions that often precede passings like this. It just, I looked at what he did and just the benefit that had. I don't know if benefit's the right word, but I looked at what he did, and I know, much like this example I'm citing of stuff that Paul was writing, but I know that in the middle of this record there's a whole groove of anger and just chaos, that just this whole centerpiece of the record, but that was just that speaks for, it speaks for me, but it speaks for all of my friends. It speaks for everybody that experienced that passing in the same way. Like, I think you need that, you probably unfortunately need to experience that just despair and just, it really just fucking anger. And then you dig and you dig and you dig until you try and find some semblance of hope, and I think you end up finding it not just in yourself, but you look around and you look at your friends that have been just holding you up for your whole life, really. You'd be inclined to say just for the past year, but no, they've been holding you up for your whole life. Like, your parents have been holding you up for your whole life. Like, fucking hell, man. My friends and family, what an unbelievable troop. What an unbelievable privilege it is to have them. That tread of anger is there. You try and pull something from it, and I think eventually, yeah, you do. There is some hope in all of that, in all of that chaos. And I would hope that people listening to it can feel some of that anger and are accepting of where it comes from, because I feel like it comes from a justified place, and I would hope that anger can be something that again helps people feel a form of empathy towards people in those positions. Yeah.
What's up, baby? Rise and shine. Happy old Brady on this glorious Saturday morning. But just call it, send you a quick message to say I love you first and foremost, and miss you second and third. Can't wait to see you Sunday. Get yourself up out of bed now and get busy for the day.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you, awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.